T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Tuesday night, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Don't forget to download the radio.com app. We know you're not getting a chance to be in your car as often as what you were, so you don't get a chance to listen to the radio station as much, but we encourage you to download the radio.com app since you want to listen to it. It's the easiest, coolest way. Put that on your device. You've got your smartphone, you got your Alexa speakers, you got your tablet, you got your boombox, you got your, I don't know, your Blu-ray, you got your Intellivision, you got your Atari 2600, you got a Swatch watch. Just download it on something. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's always the best way to be a part of our show. Do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. And by the way, he'll be asking the questions later on, as we will do a rank 'em coming up at 1040 tonight. Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. This is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So the NFL Madden ratings are out. Now, I did not realize this. How about this? So Todd Gurley is not in the top 10 in running backs. I did not realize this. Todd Gurley came into last year's Madden rankings with the highest ranking. He was number one. Devontae was tied for ninth last year. I did not realize that. The guys who dropped out of the top 10 from last year, Gurley was number one overall. Melvin Gordon and Le'Veon Bell were tied for third. Kareem Hunt was tied for seventh. And Devontae was tied for ninth. How about that? I did not know that from last year. From the quarterback perspective, Matt comes in at number seven. So, you know, all those dopey lists and everything that we see where Dak and Deshaun and Carson, well, not Madden, by God. The top 10 in quarterbacks, Mahomes, no shock, number one. Russell Wilson, number two. Lamar, number three. Drew Brees, four. Tom Brady, five. Okay? Aaron Rodgers is six. Matt comes in at number seven at 87 in his rating. Ryan dropped two ratings points and moved up one spot from his start last season. Last year, he was 89 overall, 8th overall, after a season where he had his highest interception total since 2015. Then it goes to Sean, Dak, and Carson Wentz from there. So that's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good stuff that, Matt made it as high. Because, look, everybody knows that Madden is the end-all, be-all of how you rank players. All this other stuff, these analytics and stuff like that, man, miss me with all that. Now, I would assume that Julio is the highest-rated wide receiver. He's got a 96. By the way, the Falcons team, and I sort of remember the Madden ratings, but it's been a while since I've played Madden. So, overall, the Falcons are a 79 for their team rating. They're an 80 on offense, a 79 on defense. X-Factor players is Julio Jones. He's got an X-Factor ability is double me. I have no idea what all that means. This is like Chinese I'm reading. Superstar players are Grady Jarrett, Julio Jones, and Matt Ryan. Julio's got a mid-out elite outside apprentice. Grady Jarrett has inside stuff El Toro, and Matt Ryan has quick draw and fearless. Like, what are those? Code names or something that they have? I have no idea what that means. In order of how the Falcons are ranked, won't go through everybody, but here's the top guys. Julio's the highest rated player. He's got a 96. Grady comes in at a 90. Alex Mack comes in at an 89. Then Matt at 87. Gurley at 86. Deion at 86. Keanu. How can Keanu Neal be an 84 when he hasn't, when he basically has missed two consecutive years? Like, how can he be an 84 and you don't even know if he can play? Is he healthy? Is he ready to go? I mean, how can he be an 84? And he's above Calvin Ridley. How's he above Calvin Ridley right now in a Madden ranking? And Ricardo Allen and Dante Fowler Jr., who's coming off his best year of his career. And Keanu Neal hasn't played in 2 years. Tack comes in at a 79. Isn't that a little high for Tack? 79? He's ahead of... How is Tack McKinley ahead of Jake Matthews at 78? Who put these together? This is the dumbest list I've ever seen in my life. After I just said it's the end-all, be-all for ratings out there. Tack McKinley shouldn't have a higher Madden rating than Jake Matthews, for God's sakes. Or probably Hayden Hurst, for that matter. But he does. How is Deidre Sanot a 71? Deidre Sanot, who played about as much as I did last year. What's my Madden rating? Because he and I played about the same. How many more snaps did Deidre Sanot have than me? Four? So that means I'm about a 71 or 72. By the way, if you're wondering what the rookies, A.J. Terrell gets a 70. Sterling Hoffrichter gets a 69. Which is also what Treadwell's number is. Where's the other rookies? Matt Hennessy gets a 67. Michael Walker gets a 66. Josh Hawkins also gets a 66. So there you go. And Matt Schaub gets a... What is Matt Schaub's number? Matt Schaub gets a 58. How about that, huh? So there you go. There's your Madden ratings out there. So not too bad. It'll look better next year because, well, the Falcons are going to make a big splash next year, and they're going to do their thing. All right, so speaking of Devontae Freeman, the agent, this according to NFL Network's Mike Silver, Freeman's agent, Kristen Campbell, notified Devontae that she's terminating their business relationship after she turned down, he had turned down a contract offer from the Seattle Seahawks. It says the Seahawks offered Freeman $4 million for 1 year, but he insisted he was worth more than that. And then Carlos Hyde went in and scooped up the offer. So because of it, his agent, it's a female, and she's the one who, by the way, too, also negotiated the five-year, $41.25 million extension that Freeman got back in 2017. So she has let him go, figuring, okay, this guy really wanting to play football. It says here, too, that Mike Silver also talking about Devontae Freeman. Says Freeman has invested his money well and saved much of the income he's earned thus far. Financially, he does not have to play. His current mentality is that he won't play if he doesn't get an offer that reflects what he believes his value is. What does he think his value is, by the way? Did you see Devontae Freeman? I get that sometimes the offensive line wasn't very good for the Atlanta Falcons. Did you see Devontae Freeman? I mean, what exactly is his value? Because he can't get through the first wave of defensive linemen anymore in the NFL. What's his value? No wonder his agent dropped him. By the way, how does Mike Silver of NFL Network know that he's invested his money well and saved a lot of his money? Does he have access to his bank account or something? Like, where do these guys get that information from? Like, how do you know how well he's invested or not invested? How do you know what his bank account situation is? How do you know if he's financially... I mean, I know he's made a lot of money. You know, did anybody think Antoine Walker, you know, was as in bad a shape as what he was financially? So they were like, oh, wow, this isn't good. I don't know. I'm always leery about when I read some stuff like that. Sorry, that's just me. Bleacher Report, the biggest looming decision for every NFL team as we head toward training camp. Coming up very quickly here, by the way. What do they have for the Atlanta Falcons? What role will Todd Gurley have in the offense? If the Rams released Gurley, Falcons grabbed him up for a one-year, $5.5 million deal, make him a starting running back heading into 2020. Though Gurley's coming off a disappointing season with the Rams, he was fantastic 2 years ago. Gurley gets a lot of credit for being a bruising between the tackles runner, but he's also a capable dual threat back. At 25 years old, he can still be a long-term building block for the Falcons. However, Lanny's decide what sort of role Gurley will have in the offense this season. Will he be a true centerpiece back like he was in L.A.? Will he split time with the likes of Ito Smith and Brian Hill as the Falcons determine just how much is left in his tank? Will Atlanta become more of a running team? So a few things. One is I think they want to become a better red zone and short yardage running team, because that has been the Achilles heel, is how does this team pick up short yardage on third and two? How do they punch it in the end zone when they get down there without having to be shotgunning five wide? So I don't think that they are necessarily trying to increase their running game. They want to be better, yes. I mean, they want to see more yards, but they're not going to be a run-first team, not when you have Matt and Julio and Hurst and Ridley and all those guys. I think the thing, they will limit the touches for Gurley. They will keep him on a pitch count. But I do think he gets more involved in the passing game. He's shown that he can be a good receiver, make some plays, get him out in space. I think that's the thing where we know Dirk Cutter, you know, he'll use the running back. You know, when they had Devontae Freeman, he was a big part of their passing game. I think that's where you're going to see the biggest benefit out of Todd Gurley, is giving them another viable option in the pass game. Yeah, I think he'll do his thing in the running game, but I think having him as a threat to be able to make some hay in the passing game, I think that's the thing that I look for the most in Todd Gurley in his role. But he will be on a pitch count. I don't think they're just going to turn him loose and let him do his thing and go crazy with it. He's going to be on a pitch count. They're going to watch how much he carries. Maybe, you know, again, he'll probably start off slow with the amount of carries and stuff like that till they work him in, especially since we haven't had training camp and an off season and this, that, and the other, that these guys haven't had OTAs to be able to really kind of do a tremendous amount. Yeah, they've done some workouts, stuff like that, but it's still not the same as, you know, getting to the facility and being with your coaches, being with your team and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's the role. Pitch count, but still, you know, use him in key situations. Can't wait. I mean, we're just a couple of weeks away from training camp too. I mean, it's baseball season, training camp. It's all right around the corner, man. It's coming up monstrously quick. All right, when we get back, we will talk to the enforcer, Double A, the man who started and founded the Four Horsemen. Arne Anderson will join us next. Looking forward to this. It is the John Chakra Show, hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it here on the John Chakra Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, watching a little 2016 Survivor Series. Oh, man, you hear the music. Tomorrow night, of course, TNT is the place. AEW Dynamite, that's the show. Catch it at 8 o'clock on TNT. We go out to the waitfor.com hotline. We are joined by the legend, founder of the Four Horsemen, the enforcer. It's Double A, Arne Anderson. And, man, Arne, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here as a 48-year-old guy in Atlanta. You're probably in North Carolina or Jacksonville or somewhere, and I'm sitting here holding up the four sign, man. I can't thank you enough for being on, man. Really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here this evening.
John, you just made my night, my friend. I am in Jacksonville. I did travel from Charlotte, which was a piece of cake, and I am very fortunate to be in Jacksonville now, getting ready for TNT Television.
By the way, do like I do, everyone. Every Tuesday on the Westwood One Podcast Network, you can hear the Arne Show with Arne and Conrad Thompson. As I enjoy the Ask Arne Anything every other week, but check it out on the Westwood One Podcast. You know, Arne, I was joking about putting up the four fingers, man, and, you know, in my youth watching you guys. I mean, we were talking about wrestling faction at the beginning of the show with you coming on. What is it about all these decades later, Arn? It's got to feel great. And what does it mean to you that, you know, everywhere you go, people put up the four sign. People talk about the Horsemen. There's something about that group that even to this day still resonates with people. How does that make you feel when you see that and you hear that and you interact with people about it?
Well, I'm honored, and, you know, and it really makes you feel good. I feel like I am probably more over, and don't take this the wrong way, today than I was when I wrestled. And
yeah.
I don't know exactly why that is, other than this one thing that I can point to, and I'm very serious about this, and I say it on my podcast, and you know, it comes up about every week. What makes the Horsemen special? And I'll tell you what, it wasn't four guys and J.J. Dillon that were trying to get themselves over. It was four guys and J.J. Dillon that was trying to get an entire company full of good guys over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we busted our ass to get everybody that was our opponent. We tried to make them the biggest stars possible, and I don't think you've seen that since. It was, and what it ended up doing is it endeared the audience to us, because after a while they started to figure out, hey, you know what? These guys, these Horsemen, they're out there. They're the ones creating all this excitement, and they're the ones getting their ass handed to them, excuse my language. But, you know, and that they're causing all the excitement. It's not necessarily the other guys. And I think that's the one thing that has endeared us to wrestling fans for the last, 25 years?
Oh, yeah, and more. And, you know, Arn, I think one of the things, too, you know, as you bring that point up, that I think as wrestling fans evolve from their youth through their adult, you know, like I joked I've joked on the show, and you know, knowing that you were coming on, you know, I talk about, I hated Tully. I hated Tully Blanchard as a kid, and I was always rooting for Dusty or Magnum or somebody to take him out and beat him up. But as you start to get older, you know, you realize, wow, what a great performer you are. What a great performer Tully is. And I think there's that, as we mature, for lack of a better word, you appreciate guys like you. I mean, whether you rooted for them or not as a kid or whatever, but as you get older, you can't help but appreciate guys like yourself and Tully with what you did and going out there night after night. I think that's what it is. Just you start to mature and say, damn, those guys were really good, and they really did entertain the crap out of me.
But, and, you know, you're 100% right, because on any given night, Ric Flair was just a star. He was just somebody that some people hated him, some people loved him, but everybody was on their feet clapping for him. And we could be in a six-man tag. Tully, everybody in the building, to your point, hated him across the board, because he just was so good at being that guy that you just wanted to hate. There would be on any given night, there would be a few people cheering for me and people booing him universally. And that's what made us, I think, so unique, is everyone had their own style and we stuck to it and we were who we were. And, you know, wherever the cards fell, that's where they fell. And people could cheer us or boo us or whatever they wanted to do. The only thing we cared about is that they were out of their seats making noise one way or the other.
Founder of the Four Horsemen, AA Arn Anderson, WWE Hall of Famer too, Arn Anderson joining us. Don't forget tomorrow night, AEW Dynamite, 8 o'clock on TNT. Obviously, you mentioned about, you know, obviously you made your bones a lot as a tag team, TV champion, but also obviously a great tag team wrestler, you and Tully, the Brain Busters, and just the great team that was, and you and Ole. But why do we not see great tag teams anymore? Why, you know, you and Conrad were talking about 1990 a few weeks ago, and just you start running down that list, and I know Cornette was breaking down the Southern Boys versus the Midnight Express, and you're just like, where have all the great tag teams gone? Why is that not a focus of professional wrestling the way that it used to be?
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you here, if I can. You know, for the last 20 years, basically, I worked for WWE, as a lead producer, and that was the only game in town. After they bought out WCW, that's, you know, the major company. You know, there was Japan and there were a few other companies, but the company was WWE. And to be honest with you, this is the word we got as producers. Vince McMahon, the owner who makes all the decisions, did not like the fact that if you had tag matches and forbid, God forbid, you had a manager too, that was five payoffs and that was five sets of transportation, plane tickets, etc. And he just got it in his mind that he did not want to pay all that transportation cost. Not the fact that, you know, in my mind, and I've said this before going on record, if you've got the right circumstances and you've got a set of guys that are, you know, like an Anderson and a Blanchard or the Midnight Express or whoever it may be, that are the tag champions with a Cornette or a J.J. Dillon as the mouthpiece or a Paulie, you know, Paul Heyman, you know, with the Dangerous Alliance with Larry and myself. When you have that scenario and you have the right set of guys to challenge for those belts, there's nothing better than that match on the card, or that's the way it should be. And at what point do you spend a few bucks to give something special to the audience? And that's the thing that I think was lost and went for 20-some-odd years without having a lot of tag teams.
Arn Anderson joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Don't forget, tomorrow night, AEW Dynamite taking place on TNT. You're coaching Cody Rhodes. We actually had Cody on the show when you guys were still able to do live traveling and stuff. And before he came on, before you guys were here in Atlanta, we had Cody on the show. I think you can make a case he's probably the most over babyface in North America. Tell me what it is about Cody that reminds you of his dad and what makes him different from his dad.
Confidence in the product, which he's the product. He's confident in his abilities because he has earned his way to the spot he's in. Same thing with his dad. The one thing Dusty never lacked was confidence in who he was, in his ability to draw, his ability to talk people into the arena, and just basically, you know, the ability to be the number one guy. And I think Cody has not tried to be his dad. He has not tried to be his brother. He has just tried to be himself, and he bet on himself because he quit a hell of a job with WWE, and there was a guarantee there, I'm sure, that you guys like you or I would have probably said, yeah, I'll take that. But he chose to go out into the world, bet on himself, and be honest with you, he made the right call because he is doing incredibly. And Tony Khan, I can't sing this guy's praises enough, because for all you WCW fans or all you fans that just loved wrestling, you know, the wrestling part of it, the male soap opera part of it, he has given that back to us when I thought it was going to be gone forever. And he has allowed the talent to be in control of their own destiny and their own character and what they say to the audience. And no one's better at this point in time. The reason, going back to your original question, why Cody Rhodes is in the position that he's in is because he's a great communicator. And he speaks to the audience, not at them, which is what I've always tried to do myself. That's the one thing I would say that separates him from everyone else.
You know, Arn, I don't say this as like a negative, but you're part of like a dying breed from the standpoint of, you know, you came up through a territory system and you were able to, from Pensacola through Atlanta to wherever, Houston, Dallas. I mean, you were able to hone your craft through a territory system over a number of years before, you know, you exploded and became this mega superstar. But guys don't necessarily have that. You know, the indie scene and things like that is different. How much more difficult do you think it is for guys to learn the craft and learn the trade now versus, you know, obviously in your days when you had a territory sim, you could travel around to Pensacola, Florida, and wrestle every single night. How much more difficult is it now for guys to hone their craft?
I feel terrible for these guys. I really do, because, you know, back in the day when I started in 82, if you would have asked me in 1985 how many matches I would have had, I would tell you probably close to 1,000.
Wow.
If you do the math, there was no such thing as days off. You know, the only days off would have been go to a territory, do your 6 months, you got 5 days to get to the next territory where you will be starting and have a starting date, and you will do another 5 or 6 months, and you might have 3 days or 5 days or 8 days to get to the next territory, to your next starting date. That's a lot of reps, and that's what it takes to get good at this. There's nobody out there that's going to get good at this once or twice a week. They're just not, and it just takes guys. Number one, you can't get in ring shape in that amount of time. You just can't. You know, the one thing that I have seen, you know, the nature of the business is there's just not enough TV time to go around. And that's the part I hate the most. Because back in the day, you would start, and if you had a position, like when I started for Jim Crockett Promotions, I started on a Tuesday television. I shot an angle with Manny Fernandez, and I didn't miss a TV probably for 2.5 years. That's 52 a year. Plus, if you had two sets of TVs, like a TBS in Atlanta that we would do on Saturday morning, and then you had your other television that was syndicated that we would tape around Charlotte, now you double that number. But it was double exposure, it was double reps, it was double everything. And I just don't think the guys today have the advantage of getting that many reps in. And it's just hard to learn the business and get really good at it at just X number of days a year. And I think that's the big difference. We got more reps in, we got more time in, and we just had a lot of ring time.
You see him every Wednesday. He's on AEW Dynamite tomorrow night, TNT, 8 o'clock. You hear him every Tuesday on the Westwood One Podcast Network, The Arn Show. Arn Anderson and Conrad Thompson every week. By the way, too, Arn, I will leave you with this, as I have posted on Twitter many times. I do sport the Arrive Spinebuster Leave T-shirt. Pick one of those up as well. Arn finally gets his own T-shirt out of the whole thing. Arn, I can't tell you enough, man.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but to that note, can you believe I went all these years until just a year ago without ever having a T-shirt of my own?
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I mean, listen, Arn, could you imagine in 1986 if you'd have come up with Arn 316? Could you? You should have come up with something like that, Arn.
Well, can you just imagine if we would have, been with Vince when he was doing all of his marketing, and the Horseman would have been a point of contention and something they were trying to market? You think would have sold a few Horseman shirts?
Oh, man, no question. You guys would have had the logo and everything. It's crazy. I mean, it's like you said, man. It's a different business. Arn, man, I can't even begin to thank you enough for spending a few minutes in Atlanta with us tonight. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Continued success. Good luck. Good health to you. And don't worry, I'm watching every Wednesday, man. I'm enjoying what I'm watching.
Well, my friend, if we get in driving range, stick your head in the door and say hello. Love to meet you personally, and I appreciate you supporting us and being so kind with everything, and look forward to seeing you in person sometime, okay?
You got it. Thank you, Arn. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time. And when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. We'll get to all of that next. It is the John Chuckman Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday, Goosebump City, Sports Radio, Night on the Game, and on the radio.com app. Back at it on the John Chuckman Show. 9:45 on a Tuesday night. You know what time
That's
it is.
Life. What all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Don't forget to download the radio.com app, social media at 929 the game. At JMCH316, and he's at JarvisD90. Yeah, I got to tell Jarvis, I was talking to break. Look, I'm going to fully admit, okay, that's goosebump city for me. You know, to talk to a guy like that that I was watching back when I was, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, and talking to that guy and that legend, and then says something like, hey, man, I'd like to meet you in person. You're like, oh. Mr. Anderson, can I please? You know, I'd be like Chris Farley, like talking to one of those guys. And I, you know, listen, I said before, you know, I worked out for years at Main Event Fitness. So I saw those guys all the time. I mean, you know, in all honesty, I mean, that, you know, Sting and Lex Luger were kind of like, they were part owners. I don't know how big of money guys they were, but they were certainly like the PR face of the gym. They had two locations. I know they had money in it. I know it's kind of partly their venture, but there were other guys involved in it. But you would see the WCW guys all the time. And, you know, I've told John, like when I was going there, I remember Mark Merrow, you know, the wild man Mark Merrow. Of course, he was Johnny B. Badd in WCW. So he was getting ready to leave WCW to head over to WWF. And, of course, he's married to Rena Merrow. And she would become Sable, literally maybe the most over female of all time. I mean, Playboy and all the stuff. I mean, she was over. But this is, you know, she wasn't Sable then. You know, she was Rena Merrow. She was Johnny's husband. Or I should say Mark's husband. Mark Merrow was his name. But he was Johnny B. Badd and then was Bob Memmer. But, I mean, I would see them. You know, DDP before he really became a superstar. He was in WCW, but... You know, this would have been, you know, oh, gosh, mid-90s, you know, 94, 95, 96, you know, up to 97, 98, I mean, when he did become a star. But, you know, even before that, you know, I remember seeing Paul White, the Giant, the Big Show now as he's known, you know. Paul was in the power plant. He wasn't even regular. He was on the power plant. Disco Inferno coming from the power plant. You know, I told you I'd work out with Scotty over the years, you know, in his big Papa Pump phase. So, I mean, I saw those guys all the time. You know, Benoit and Luger, and you'd see all those guys there, you know. So, I mean, it still was always cool. And then when the WWF finally came, you know, the WWF didn't come to Atlanta, I think, till 99 was the first Raw. I was there for that. That was, we talked with Jim Ross about this. It was at the Georgia Dome with, you know, him and Austin against Triple H and China in that match. And it was funny because Austin and Triple H were fighting all over the arena. Austin's throwing him in the nacho cart. He's pouring beer on him, and there's the beer cart. I mean, they were all over the place. But that was like 99, and those guys would come to Main Event as well. The Rock was there one time. I mean, so you'd see some of the WWF guys when they would come, you know, over the years. Saw Stacy Keibler, you know, when she won the Nitro Girls contest, and you know what Stacy Keibler became. You know, DDP's wife, Kimberly. Oh, my God. There's a story about I broke my foot watching Kimberly on the treadmill. I dropped a weight on my foot and broke my foot. There's a whole story I've got about that. I had to go to the emergency room that night with my foot blown open and bleeding from watching Kimberly on the treadmill. That's what she's literally one of the most attractive human beings I've ever seen in my entire life. And in 90, 95, 96, Kimberly Page, oh. You know, Miss Elizabeth was there. I mean, you'd see all these people that you grew up watching and stuff like that. So it was always cool. But when you get to talk to a guy like Arn like that, I mean, just love it, man. Love it. You know, so I, you know, listen, I, you know, I'm not a media guy. I can fanboy. I'm allowed to fanboy, and I fanboyed. I enjoyed that greatly. So I hope you all had fun and appreciate that. You know, we shout out to Jarvis for working on getting all that set up, and listen, it's been a lot more work than some people realize, but you know, it's very cool, very cool. So what was also very cool is at least we got a little bit of green on the market today. At least at the end of the day, the market didn't just collapse, you know, on me. So that was good news out there. Now we had had a guy on Twitter send me this story about this guy in Florida, and this is a crazy story of this guy. There's this guy that had a bunch of rare coins that he had a bunch of rare coins that he had that really was, for lack of a better way to describe it, it was kind of his retirement fund that he inherited a bunch of a bunch of these rare coins. And so this guy that he had met ended up stealing a bunch of this stuff from him. And it turns out, this guy took $33,000 worth of rare coins. Okay? Well, you know what the guy ended up doing with some of those rare coins? Because he probably, first of all, didn't have any idea what he was doing with them. He took them and actually went to the CoinStar at Kroger or Publix or wherever it was, went to a CoinStar and actually cashed them in. Can you imagine? He took these rare coins that were, oh gosh, probably, he says probably over $100,000 worth, you know, but he had about $33,000 on him, that he went to a CoinStar machine and cashed a bunch of them in. Now, what do we say? What's the old line? Is it the Bill Engvall line? No, it's the Ron White line. You can't fix stupid. And by the way, guess where this happened? Down in Florida. This happened down in Florida. No shock, right? That Florida guy takes $33,000 worth of coins and ends up taking a bunch of them over to CoinStar, for God's sakes. CoinStar. Sometimes you just can't help people in what they're thinking out there. Now, I also found this other story funny. So there was a woman on TikTok, on this, you've heard of this, right? This tic-tac, flip-flop, whatever the thing is, you know, this Chinese-run thing that everybody does now, which I've made my daughter get off of flip-flop because it's run by the Chinese and I don't trust any of it, whatever. But I guess it's become like the new, Jarvis, are you on flip-flop or tic-tac or... Are you on any of that? Do you do any of that kind of stuff, or do you stay?
Nah,
away from
I don't
too?
Mess around with that TikTok yet.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't mess around with all that flip flop and dip dap and tic tac and all that kind of stuff. So, but there's a story on there that I found funny. As I was reading from one of the services, that I didn't know this was true. I guess in some parts of the country, McDonald's has muffins. So I guess they sell in some parts of the country. Blueberry muffins. You ever heard of this? I know that there are McDonald's that do tests on different things, and some McDonald's across the country do have some unique menu items and stuff like that compared to some others and stuff like that. I've heard that before. And you know, there's also, Jarvis, are you familiar with secret menus at fast food places? Like, have you heard of secret menus before at, like, McDonald's or what have you? Have you ever heard of those before? Yeah, so like I know, like one is like there's like a you can get like a surf and turf, like you can get a burger and a fish patty on a sandwich. They call it like the surf and turf. You know, you can also get a Big Mac, but you can get it with a quarter pounder. So that you can get the Big Mac, but yeah, instead of just like the regular small bun, you can get it with the quarter pounder size meat and bun, and they do a Big Mac that size. All right, but anyway, this girl posted
that,
on TikTok.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, I've had it before. Yeah, it's tremendous. I agree with you.
Nice.
Burger King has that same kind of sandwich. They stole it. They call it like the King XL or something like that, that they have at Burger King, where they stole the sandwich. But, so this girl on Zigzag or Tic Tac, whatever the thing is, she bought a muffin from McDonald's, and she put it up there on video that she said this happened before. The muffins are so stale that you can't break them. On the zip zap video that she does, she throws it against the wall and it doesn't break. She hits it with a hammer and it doesn't break. The thing is so old and stale that she can't even get the thing broken apart to eat. She does. She takes a hammer, she throws it against the wall, and the thing still won't break. Now, maybe it's time for McDonald's to get out of the muffin business. If you've got a muffin that's so old and stale that a hammer doesn't hit it, don't you think it's time to, like, report them to the, what's the health department or something? How can you serve a muffin, a blueberry muffin, that hardens up? How many preservatives does that thing have in it? I'm sure it's real healthy coming from McDonald's to start with, but imagine how many preservatives are in something like that. Crazy. Thought that was funny watching her take a hammer and try to smash the thing. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, our college football roundup, We'll get to all of that next, all your news and notes from the world of college football. It is the John Shuckler Show, hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.